4. Now you notice I put my reading glasses away, and I'll show you why I can do that, okay? I'm actually doing something that I never thought I would do. I'm actually preaching from an iPad. Can you believe that? And I'll explain it to you here in a minute, okay? I like to walk around a little bit. See that? You can probably read that from here, can't you?
Yep.
Can you read that one?
Nope.
Can you read that one?
Nope.
I'll bet your wife can probably read that from there, can't you? No, not quite. My wife can you? Can you see that back here? I showed it to you folks in the Sunday school class, okay? I actually have my iPad here. You can probably read that from here, can't you? Can you read that one? I love young people. Oh, yeah, I can do that, yeah. No, I can't. How about that one? Okay, you must be Victoria. Здрасте. Здрасте, как дела? You can read that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. She can read Russian. Can you read that one? That's Hungarian. Венгерский. Okay, and that's English, of course. Okay. When we had visitors come to our church, I said we had the Hungarians over here, we had Ukrainians over here, we had Americans scattered in the back, and your preacher was there for one of those. I think he was there on Thursday night, right? You were there? Or did we took you back to the hotel? Probably. But anyhow, we would sing our services in three languages. I tried to do it decently in an order, the best I could. I have the Hungarians sing the first verse in Hungarian. The Ukrainians, we didn't have a Ukrainian songbook. We had a Russian songbook. So they would sing the second verse in Russian. The Americans would sing it in English. And everybody kept getting mixed up when to sing, you know. And so I just said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to sing all three languages at the same time. Make a joyful noise, amen. And I said, God knows your heart, God knows my heart, and He knows if we're singing from our heart, and that's really what matters, okay? So we began to sing all the verses, all the languages, all at the same time, and sometimes the Hungarians would stop, and then our Ukrainian friends would sing. Many times Russian has more verses than English or Hungarian. Now, I just got my son-in-law up in Kansas. Josh was telling me about there's a songbook that's called Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. And it's actually got the all the original verses. Did you know that, I think, I don't know if it's Amazing Grace, but some of those old hymns that we sing have 18 verses. Have 18 verses. Man, we've been in churches where they sing the first, the second, and the last verse. They always skip the third verse. And I heard one preacher get up at a preacher's meeting, and his message was, I'd hate to be the third verse in some of your churches. But anyhow, so and I would preach in English, or one of my American friends would preach in English, and I'd translate into Russian for myself or somebody else, and then one of my Hungarian friends, Milan or Mark, they would translate into Hungarian, and then one night on a Thursday night, my Hungarian friend did not come back. He was working late or something. He couldn't be there. I had to do all three languages myself. And I always tell people, don't do this without adult supervision. Man, my mind was so, sometimes it almost comes out like a different message, you know. And saying one thing to one group and something else to another group, you know, it's kind of funny. But anyhow, God has really been good, and we've just been having a great time there in Hungary. We lived 11 years in Siberia before that, so I did learn to speak Russian pretty well. Without really any formal classes, because Russian was so much easier. I have been to Moldova. I have friends that live in Chisinau, Americans. I've been there twice. The first time I was there 2 weeks, and then the second time on the way back from Hungary and Romania, and then I went back to Ukraine and flew back to the States in 2008. But I loved visiting in Moldova, and of course, I've made 58 trips now with the Lord's help into Ukraine. God has helped us to carry 120,000 John and Romans into Ukraine, and we have mailed those out to other missionaries and also Ukrainian pastors and that would pass those out. And we also carried in 50,000 New Testaments in Ukrainian. And one day I got an email or something and met your pastor through the email, and the timing was perfect. It was a Tuesday night, I remember very clearly, in the middle of summer sometime. And he was in Budapest, and I said, boy, the timing's perfect. I took a group to the airport on Tuesday morning. I went and saw him Tuesday evening for supper. And I asked him when he was going on to Germany, and he said Friday morning. And I said, you know, the timing is perfect. I said, if you'd like, we could go to Ukraine early in the morning on Wednesday, and I'll bring you back Thursday afternoon. He said, oh, that would be wonderful. So we got to take a trip into Ukraine together and spend those couple days together, really had a good time. And I am so thankful that we have the opportunity now to meet you folks, because you folks have done so much through your support, through your love offerings and stuff to help us. And I just can't share enough how much we thank you folks for everything that you have done for us. All right, now he told me that this morning I'm going to be doing some preaching. Then I'll do more of a presentation and talk a lot more about the ministry and everything that God's allowed us to do. In the evening, sing another song or two, and have some question and answers afterwards, and we'll just have a great time, amen, in the Lord's house. Now, what time do you usually finish up?
When the Lord says stop.
Okay, when the Lord says stop. Now, I like to just share this with pastors that say when the Lord says stop. I got invited to preach at a pastor's meeting one time in Romania, and the translator had been, he was a Romanian pastor, knew English real well. He actually translated for us at the Gypsy Bible Institute in Romania, and when he heard that I had written out the whole Bible by hand in English before I went to the field, he said, you have to come to my church and preach and talk to my people about that. And so I got to preach at a pastor's meeting he had also on that Saturday. In the morning, I preached for 2 hours and 15 minutes. Now, I didn't plan on preaching. Now, you got to give the translator half of the time, because he took up half of that time trying to figure out what I was trying to say, okay? But the two of us together was 2 hours and 15 minutes. A lot of the preachers just, they were so excited. It was almost like they were leaning forward in their chairs, and I really didn't know how to stop. Then finally, about 2 hours and 15 minutes, it was almost lunchtime, I think, I said, you know, I think we need to stop right now. And a lot of the guys came up that spoke English come up, and they were glad, really enjoyed it. And one young fella, a Romanian fella, he leaned forward and he goes, brother, I really needed that this morning, and I wish you were preaching this afternoon. And I smiled and I leaned forward and I said, pray for me, I am preaching this afternoon. And I got up in the afternoon, and they had two other American speakers, and the pastor asked them to keep it up about 45 minutes or so, you know. And then I got up in the afternoon at the end of that, and I preached for 2 hours and 30 minutes. You ready? Here's my three-point outline. Reading, writing, and running. Running is practice. Okay, running is practice. Haggai chapter 2. Write the vision, make it plain, that he that readeth may run as a messenger, okay? Schofield likes to say, as a messenger. Okay, I'm running as a messenger. But that's my three-point outline that God gave me for my whole life. Reading, writing, and running. And so all together that day, I spoke for almost 2 hours and 2 hours and 30 minutes, almost 2 hours and 45 minutes on reading, writing, and running with the Bible. And I love the Bible. And the Bible is the main thing. You know, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about God's Word. And if you and I are ever going to be successful in the Christian life, and by being successful, I mean being spiritual, being filled with the mind of Christ, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But I want to be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Now, here in 1 Peter chapter 4, we've kind of got our introduction. You know, when I was in Cleveland years ago, before we ever went to the mission field, some of my friends would see, while I was going to the Bible Institute, some of my friends saw my Bible, and I had a wide margin Bible. I have notes all over every page of the Bible. I have a lot of the key words of each chapter are circled. I have everything highlighted. I have a whole Bible that's highlighted in yellow. I call it my waterproof Bible, you know, because every verse in the Bible is highlighted. The key thoughts are circled, and then I have all that stuff in the margin. And my friends were teasing me, one day you're going to be able to buy a Jim Pranger highlighted, underlined study Bible. You're not going to have to circle anything. You're not going to have to underline anything. You're not going to have to write any notes in the margin because it's going to have all that stuff for you. Well, last year, I got a new Bible. It's called the Note Taker's Bible, and it's got one column of text and one column is blank. And since January, I've been working in that Bible, putting all my notes on spiritual warfare in the margin. So pretty soon you might be able to buy a Jim Pranger Spiritual Warfare Study Bible. I'm just saying. I already got some pastors already that said, "Yeah, I want a copy of that." You know, it's not about me, okay? It's about God's Word. All right, let's go. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I almost started reading in Hungarian. All right, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. You ready? Here you go. Here's our title. Arm yourselves. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. God, I just thank you so much that you brought Brother Larry to Budapest, Lord, over 2 years ago. And God, we got to go into Ukraine and spend some time together. And Father, I'm so thankful that my wife and I got to come to Burton and to spend some time with him and his wife and to meet the folks here in Burton. And God, I'm just so thankful for everything that you're doing in our lives. And God, I pray that you'd help, bless and help me as I speak, that I could be a blessing and encouragement and a challenge to the folks here. God, help us to love you and to serve you always. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm working on a whole bunch of sermons, and I'm going to title it right here, Arm Yourselves. Okay, arm yourselves, and then I'm just going to use the first two verses here as kind of a springboard and just put a whole bunch of sermons underneath of it. But first of all, I want to challenge you to arm yourselves. Now, I know that I'm back in America, and this morning I know that I'm in Texas, or Texas. How do you say it? Texas, right? Texas, okay. All right, yeah. I know where I'm at, and when I say arm yourselves, I'm sure some of you guys probably did that one of these with your hand. Maybe some of you ladies. I've had ladies pick up their pocketbooks, you know, say, yeah, I'm loaded. I'm ready. I'm armed. Okay, I'm ready to fight the battle, and I'm not going to go into the history of some of the great wars. We learned some more yesterday as we were driving around with the preacher and his wife and about some of the battles that were even right here in this area and everything going on, but it says here, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now here it tells us to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. Jesus knew from the very beginning. I read today in Luke's gospel, and he says, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. Jesus did not come to be a judge or to destroy people's lives. Jesus Christ came to save our lives. It says Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is what God wants us to do. And I want to challenge you this morning, first of all, by saying, arm yourselves. Now, what I mean by that, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. I want to challenge you to read your Bible more. I want to challenge you to pray and fast more. I want to challenge you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some verses about that theme here a little bit later. But I want to challenge you in the Christian life to do more for the Lord, not less. I could take off my jacket, and usually I wear a vest that has all these pockets in it. And man, when I hang that up at going out in the morning sometimes, I've got almost 20 pounds of literature. I have English and Hungarian on this side, a great big stack. I have Ukrainian. I have Hungarian, Ukrainian, and Russian over here. And now that I'm in the States, I have Spanish in there too, passing out Spanish literature already here in the States. But I have I got my big fat wallet that also has my passport in it, and I can't carry it. You know, it'd be like sitting on a brick if I had it in my back pocket, so I carry it in my front pocket here. But, and I have my phone in here, you know, and all this stuff. And I have the cargo pants I wear, and I have, I have big pockets here, and I have tracks in there too, you know. And we were helping our daughter do some packing, getting ready to move. I told you about that a little bit. I spent 3 days in a row at the laundromat in Elkhart, Indiana. What a blessing. Can I get some water? Oh, yeah, okay, there we go. All right. So I was in the laundromat in Elkhart, Indiana, and I was passing out literature to everybody while I was doing my laundry. On Tuesday, the second day, I went to the laundromat, and I am not kidding you, there was about 15 guys, Hispanic, that only spoke Spanish and maybe just a little bit of English. Now, you got to picture this. I have a pair of black cargo pants on, big pockets, stuffed full with literature. I have a short sleeve dark blue t-shirt on. I have a black vest with all these pockets on it, full of stuff also. Have my black hat, a black baseball cap, and it has white letters on it. It says Jesus saves. I did it myself with a whiteout pen. One of my pastor friends, he says, I want a hat like that. And he gave me a black hat, and I put Jesus Saves on there, and I gave it back to him, you know. And then I said, you know what? I need to put a little JP on the corner and turn the patent into Amazon and see if I can start selling them on Amazon. I'm a businessman. I sell Jesus Saves hat, huh? Wow, I only sell one kind, you know. No, I'm just, who knows what the Lord's going to do in the future. But anyhow, I walked into this laundromat, and there's all these guys there, and they all go like this. And I saw it immediately, and I realized they're afraid. They think I'm either a policeman or ICE or somebody, you know? And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I do a lot of things by the seat of my pants, or, you know, just, you know, I just do a lot of things quickly like that, okay? I put my laundry down, and I said in my best Spanish, I said, Buenos dias. And they all looked at me and they go, oh, Buenos dias. And I said, that's all I know in Spanish. But I said, I am not a policeman. And they're looking at me, and I did sign language. Pointed up at heaven, and then I did like this, you know. I said, I am a pastor. And they said, oh, pastor. Good man. Every one of them took a Spanish track. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. Arm yourselves. Now, I realize, we went out to supper with the pastor and his wife, and I realized they probably gave people their tracks a lot of times. But I still got to pass out tracks, and then one of the young ladies said Spanish is better for her. Oh, I have a Spanish one, so I gave her a Spanish one. I like passing out literature everywhere I go. Arm yourselves. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. I do what I do because of who I am and because of whose I am. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier. I want to be ready to talk to people about Jesus every chance I get. And when I wear that Jesus Saves hat on, I could tell you so many stories about people going in and out of the gas station, going in and out of this place, going in and out of this place, Walmart, all these different things. One time my wife and I was in Ohio. We were getting ready to go to church Sunday morning at a church nearby, and we were walking in the door of a McDonald's. I'm always early, so we just stopped in and get a sandwich and a coffee and sit for a little bit. And as we were going in, this young fellow was coming out. And he looked up, he says, man, I love that hat. I said, amen, thanks. You know, and then we went on inside, we're at the counter. He came back in. I know what happened. A lot of these young people, they leave their wallet out in the car. You know, and he had to go out and get his wallet. He came back in. He goes, are you guys going to church somewhere nearby this morning? He said, if you're not, I'd like for you to come to my church. And I said, well, we're actually going to be going to this church over here, and I'm going to be preaching. And my wife and I are doing missionary work in Budapest. His jaw almost hit the counter. He says, Budapest? I was born in Budapest. And my parents brought me here when I was a little baby. And we're Hungarian. And we were having church because we were talking about mission work in Budapest, Hungary, and everything that's going on over there. And this guy and all these workers were like, we're the only customer there, you know. I mean, and all these young workers, when they're just listening to some believers talking about the Lord and talking about mission work. And, man, I could tell you story after story after story about everything that happened in Walmart, and I get up to the counter, you know, at Walmart, and I like to say, boy, I wish we had one of these in Russia, you know, and everybody's looking at me, Russia, and, oh, yes, ma'am, we're doing missionary work in Russia, and boy, we sure like coming to Walmart and doing our shopping here and getting everything in one place, you know, and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, a lady standing in the line in the next aisle over, she says, oh, are you two missionaries? Yes, ma'am, we're missionaries. We used to live in Russia, and now we live in Budapest. And, oh, my daughter's going on a mission trip this summer with her church group, you know. And there you go, we're having church in Walmart. Amen. I'm ready. I'm armed. I'm praying, God, give me opportunity to get the gospel out there. And look what happened. I met your pastor. Wednesday night, we're going to be in a church, in Illinois. And when the war started, the pastor said, I want to do something in Ukraine. They punched in Ukraine on the internet, and they punched in Baptist missionaries, and they said my name was the first one that came up. And I live in Budapest, Hungary. But because of all our activity going in and out, and they sent a group over to Hungary, and I took them into Ukraine also, And we're going to be, they've started supporting us. We haven't even been to the church, haven't even met the pastor yet. And they've started supporting us, and we're going to be in their church on Wednesday night this week. Praise God. There was a pastor in Ohio that has supported us for a long time, 32 years. And when the war started, he on Thursday night, he went into the pulpit Sunday morning and said, "I'm going to Ukraine. Who's going with me?" He got a group of 23 guys all together, four groups of six, that came in to Budapest to go to Ukraine. And you know what else they did? They live in Dayton, Ohio, and the church is in Dayton, Ohio, and they actually went down to Milford, Ohio, where they print the John and Romans, where they print the New Testaments in Ukrainian, and they actually came over, are you ready, with 24 Rubbermaid tubs, the big black and yellow ones, with 24,000 John Romans, freshly printed from Milford. They carried those in as their luggage. Of course, they were overweight, but I mean, you know, God provided everything. And we took all those, almost all those into Ukraine, passed them out, and we had such a good time. And with the final group, the pastor himself came, Brother Jerry Seiler. I think he's 81, 82 now. But he came with, and they said the first groups were the older group, their younger groups, and they carried more literature and stuff in. But when Brother Seiler came, they were calling, that's the senior group. You know, that's the senior group. But we have had so much fun with pastors, like-minded pastors, like Brother Larry here, that said, you know, I'm going to be going to Germany and Romania, and I'm going to stop into Budapest. And he said he'd been following me online and all this stuff on the internet. And I want to arm myself to be ready to serve God for the rest of my life. Now, I know I don't look as old as you might think, but in October I turned 68. Now, I know with our Sunday school class back in there, I'm just a young kid, right? Amen. I like that. So I say, yeah, I'm 68, and they go, "Oh, bless your heart, little boy," you know. And praise God, I can take those compliments all the time. You know, I like being referred to as a young man, but I want to arm myself with the mind of Christ that I can serve the Lord and keep on running the race and fighting the battles that He has set before us. Look at verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And I want to say this about this verse here. I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. And I'll talk more about that, what God has planned for us in the future when we go back into Hungary, as God opens the doors for us. As I get older in the Lord, and as I learn different things, and all the trips I made in Ukraine, all these different things, there are so many opportunities out there for somebody that has the experience of being in different places of the world and learning the different languages. You know, it's pretty rare when I go across the border, I can speak Hungarian to the Hungarian border guards. I speak in Russian to the Ukrainian border guards. I'm also a chaplain with the army there in Ukraine. God has given us a lot of opportunity, and it's only growing. It's only getting more and more, but I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. And I want the rest of your life to be the best of your life. Man, I see some young people here, some middle-aged people, some older people. We could all do more serving the Lord. And I just want to challenge you, read your Bibles more. Pray more. Get involved. Talk to your preacher. How can we pray for these missionaries? Man, maybe take a mission trip if you're able to. We would love for the preacher to come back with his wife this time. Amen? And maybe some other people come with him. Amen? That'd be wonderful. Okay? And again, this is just the introduction for everything that's going through my mind that God's working with in my heart about. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I want to arm myself. Every day when I get up, I spend time in God's Word. I pray. I read the Bible. I make a lot of notes. I write a page or so in my prayer journal. I make a lot of notes in my Bible. I go through my pockets. Okay, I need some more English tracts. I need some more Spanish tracts. I don't know how many tracts I passed out on this trip, but we have passed out a lot of literature so far on this trip. And I'm running out of tracts. I probably need to grab some English ones from you. And I like passing out tracts from different places, you know. And then I'll maybe get some people when they come down here on vacation or something. Maybe they could come by and see you guys. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is writing to Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I love that verse here. Paul is writing to Timothy, his preacher boy in the Lord, now the pastor at Ephesus, and he's telling Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That goes along with 1 Peter 4:1, be armed with likewise with the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, when you read the Gospels and you read about his life, when Jesus Christ met sinners, he was very gracious. He was very gracious. He went out, he brought the whole group out of their way to Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. There are some things in the Christian life we must do. Okay, and for Jesus, he had to go through Samaria to meet that Samaritan woman, and then she would take the gospel to the city, and then they would end up staying there a couple days to, tell everybody the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Jesus himself got to teach him. Wouldn't you like to read about the sermon that he preached to the Samaritans? But we know this, Jesus went out to every city and every village teaching and preaching and healing all the people. You know, he went everywhere with the gospel. That's what we need to do. Be strong, he's saying to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I do not want to be as I get older, and I pray about it and I talk to the Lord about it, I don't want to be a mean old man. I don't. I want to be gracious. I was talking with a pastor and his wife when we were eating the other day. Man, it seems like it's been a week already almost. But anyhow, I said, you know, one of the things that we've noticed over time is that if the pastor's been there for a long time, the church people will begin to take on the personality of the pastor. One thing that I've learned about your pastor, he's very gracious. He's very nice. He's very kind. You know, and for meeting some of you folks this morning, you're very gracious. You're very kind. Okay? And we need to teach these young people. You know, man, all you got to do is look at some of the old shows on TV, like Leave It to Beaver and stuff like that. All the good shows used to be on TV about how to be polite. Man, young people today don't know how to be polite. You know, and it's just amazing. I want to be strong in grace. I want to be helpful. I got this track here. I just love it. And let's see, I got it up here in my pocket here. My wife says I have too many pockets. I don't think that's possible. Somebody loves you. Okay, Pastor Hanks there in Kansas puts those out. And I just love Smile. Hi, here, somebody loves you. And they're like, wow, thank you for that. How many times have you had somebody say thank you for giving them a track? Almost everybody I give a track to, even the big truck drivers. Hey, man, here, somebody loves you. Oh, wow, thank you, man. It's fun passing out literature when you're happy in the Lord. When you got a big smile on your face, I go some places and people say, boy, it's hard to pass out tracts around here. I say, man, I just passed out a whole bunch of them at the gas station. just before I came to church. I like to smile. I tell them, I think I smile more than you guys do. I'm happy in the Lord. We were out for supper with a family in Michigan a couple weeks ago for a mission conference. They had three kids. They had a real little boy. They had a boy that was about 3 and a half, and then they had an older daughter. And that little boy, younger boy, Jordan, was sitting right across from my wife, and he's sitting there checking me out, you know. And then he asked me this question. You ready, preacher? Are you always so happy? When was the last time that somebody, especially an honest child, huh? He could have said, are you always this grumpy? He didn't say that, though. He looked at me and he goes, are you always so happy? You know what I said? I said, amen. I'm happy in Jesus. I love my job. I love my boss. What a wonderful opportunity we have to serve God. We sing this song all the time in Hungarian. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. You know that song? Huh? Maybe we need to learn it tonight. I don't know. It's in your songbook, I think. I bet it's in your songbook somewhere. No? Okay, I got it in my little songbook. Maybe I'll sing that tonight. We sing it a lot in Hungarian, boy. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the whole purpose of our ministry. You ready? To pass it on. To pass it on. To pass it on. To pass it on. One of the things that I see we need in America, we need some young men to step forward to talk to their pastors and say, hey, I'd like to be a Timothy here. I'd like to help you in the ministry here. And maybe, like Timothy, maybe one day you'll be a pastor too. We need young people to get involved in the work of the ministry so that we can pass on our faith to the next generation. My wife and I, can you imagine? We have 22 grandkids. Do you know what I did? I made a wide margin Bible and I put notes in it for all 21 grandkids, and I have number 22 right there. So Lord willing, by the end of next December, I'm going to mail that to my daughter, and she'll be able to give that to my grandson when he gets old enough to take care of it. Amen? All right, we're not going to rip pages out and all that stuff. We're going to make sure they're old enough to take care of it. But we need to pass on the things that thou hast heard of me, that you've heard from your pastor, among many witnesses, and now with the internet, with people that are watching or listening. There are a lot of people outside of here that are interested in what's going on here. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, verses 3 and 4 are the main part of what I want to speak tonight. And I like to do a long introduction and a short sermon. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, I talked about my 3-point outline: reading, writing, and running. Now, I do like to run. When our grandson was with us this summer, he and I went out and did a 4.5-mile run, probably the longest one we did. Now, I do run and walk sometimes too. But 10 years ago, I ran my first marathon. You know, when I tell people that I like to run, they're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, old grandpa there likes to run, you know. Yeah, okay. Then I tell them I ran a marathon, and you know what happens? They're going, oh, he's a runner. I'm trying to outrun sugar. Pray for me. I need help, okay? Outrunning sugar problems. But I ran my first marathon 10 years ago, the hardest thing physically I ever did in my whole life. 26.2 miles. Yeah. You know, when I finished my marathon, I learned that only less than 1% of Americans ever ran a marathon. That's pretty cool. Now I couldn't do it today. Now if I knew I had 6 months to prepare, maybe I would try. Maybe. That's a big maybe. I don't know. But I like running. Paul talks a lot about running. Hebrews 12:1 talks about running the race that God has set before you with patience. Amen. Running the race. Okay. And it's all about, you ready? Enduring hardness. Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus endured hardness. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Okay. Verse 3 talks about Jesus endured. He endured the cross. He endured the mocking, the spitting, and everything else before he got on that cross. Jesus Christ endured. And one of the things that you and I need to learn is to endure hardness. You know, when I talk to people, I've talked to a lot of people about sitting down and trying to write out the Bible. Now, I tell them, don't try to do this all in one day. Okay, where's Brother Ed at? Our Sunday school lesson, he's talking about 2 Peter 1, adding to your faith, give all diligence. But he said, be patient. It takes time to add all these things to your faith. And I can guarantee there's, I don't know very many people here today that could say, yeah, I could go out and run a marathon this afternoon. There's not very many people. It's hard work. And you've got to really get yourself in shape to be able to do something like that, okay? Endure hardness. And everybody, I was running 6 days a week. And people say, oh, when do you rest? When do you need to take a rest day, a couple rest days? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and I would say, when do the soldiers rest? There was a guy on the internet. Oh, man, this was amazing. He does the ultra marathon. He swims so far, he rides a bike so far, and then he does a marathon when he finishes it out, okay? Are you ready for this? He did 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 states. His friends, his ultra athlete friends, they said, you know, I think you could do 50 Ironmans in 50 days, but the 50 states. He started out in Hawaii, went to Alaska, worked his way down the West Coast, like that up and down. Every day he had to go to a different state and then do that same thing all over again. You know what he found out? When he got up into the mid-40s, his body was so much in shape that his times were getting faster. They were getting faster. You know why? Because he had learned to endure the hardness. He had trained so hard up to that point when he started. And then as he got through every day, I mean, sometimes he'd have the mobile home would break down in the middle of the night. He had to finish the rest of the drive with somebody else driving the car, and then he would sit in the driver's seat or in the back seat trying to get a little bit of sleep before he ran the next day. Endure hardness. He did that for a corruptible crown. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, our crown is an incorruptible. When I stand before the Lord, I would like to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We need to be very careful. The world that we live in, like I said, I'm preaching from an iPad today. It's a wonderful tool. I have an iPhone in my pocket. It's a wonderful tool. Somebody asked me the other day, do we have Samsung or iPhones? I was given my first iPhone by my son, okay, many years ago, okay? And when all the kids have iPhones, we can do FaceTime, video FaceTime, you know, for free, internationally, okay? And then Then we got a new one. My wife bought an iPhone, and then I got the old one. I kept my son's phone. And then we got another one. My wife got the new phone. I got her old phone. And then we gave my old phone to her sister, the first one that we gave her. So we just kind of pass them on to other family that doesn't have them. That way we can all stay in contact with that FaceTime stuff. But it's really dangerous. You got to really be careful, okay? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Folks, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. There's a lot of things going on out there that want to stop us, that want to destroy us, that want to destroy our family, that want to destroy our church. We got to be really careful. We need to be careful. And then last of all, the last part of this verse, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I really feel honored by the Lord that God has called me to do what I'm doing. And I'm so thankful to the Lord when God sends like-minded preachers our way and say, hey, brother, I think you're doing a great job here. We want to help you. And that's what this is all about today. I want to say thank you to your preacher and his wife. I want to say thank you to you folks for helping us to do more. We were in a new church a few weeks ago in Michigan for a mission conference. And that pastor, you know, we were out at lunch. And he said, Jim, he says, how are you doing on your support? And I told him, I said, the same thing I tell every pastor. I said, praise the Lord, we're doing good. But if I had more, I could do more. And yeah, they chuckle, they smile, they nod their head. Yeah, amen. If I had more, I could do more. Amen. Yeah, and I told that to your preacher here the last couple of days. If I had more, I could do more. And you know what God's doing? On this trip, God's allowing us to meet the churches that we have not been to yet to present our work through your pastor, and God is allowing us to now meet face-to-face so you can see what God is doing with your mission money. God has allowed us to put literature in the hands of people from 96 countries of the world in Budapest. It's amazing. When we first got to Budapest, I saw all the foreigners there, and I began to get tracks. And back up to 1994, 1995, when we first got to Russia and the clear northeast over by Alaska, when we would go in the outdoor markets, you know what I saw? Chinese people. And I sent a letter. You ready? I sent a letter, longhand, to Fellowship Track League in Ohio. And I asked them to send me some Chinese tracks. And I began to put those Chinese tracks out in the market. And they would open them up, and they would start reading them out loud to the people around them. And then they would read, and they were so excited to get them. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I gave what I thought was a Chinese man, I gave him a Chinese track, and he looked at it, and he said, I can't read that. I'm not Chinese. And I looked at him and I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Vietnam. I wrote another letter, Fellowship Track League. Send me some Vietnamese. I got some Vietnamese about 2 months later. And I went back there and I'm looking for the Vietnamese. You know, oh, here you go. I got one of these for you. Oh, they're so excited. I remember another time seeing a guy. I said, you're not from China. He goes, no, I'm not from China. And I said, you're not Vietnamese. He says, no, I'm not from Vietnam. I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Korea. Oh, wow, write another letter to get send it away, get another small box in the mail 2 months later, and go find that guy. Where's that guy at? Oh, yeah, okay, there he is. Give him Korean. In Budapest, we passed out literature to people from 96 countries of the world so far. Every time I go out, Lord, can you give me one more? I think that's a good place to stop for tonight. We can finish that this evening. But I want to say this. Arm yourselves. Get ready to do whatever God wants you to do. And believe me, God has allowed us to do more than I ever thought that God would let us do. I'm amazed what God's doing in our life. And I'm amazed what God is doing in your life here in this church. And I'm just praying and begging and asking you folks to get that burden in your heart to do more. And if you ever want to come over to Budapest to see us, the preacher knows how to get there. Thank you, preacher. Oh, let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, I just pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for these folks. God, may you bless them. May you encourage them. May you challenge them to arm themselves that they might be like-minded with you. And Father, go out to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, beginning right here at home. Father, again, thank you for this opportunity. I pray you bless the rest of the service. And God, may you continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, all day about this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.